This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Angeline Tay, and Arvin Nuvaraj. What a gloomy Thursday it is today, but I assure you, nothing is gloomy on today's show.
Yeah, I mean, like, we have a story on a skull drilling robot that is good for humanity. Well, when I say news, I mean, it's kind of like a, you know, when I say good, it's like a double-edged sword or double-edged drill instead. And Swedish kids are definitely going to take over the world and change the world with this new thing that they are learning.
Yeah, but before we go into all these stories, everyone knows about WhatsApp's weird status update feature. I mean, you know, the one they ripped off Snapchat, basically just copy and pasting the same thing they did with Instagram stories and use it for Facebook and WhatsApp. And among of all these platforms, WhatsApp is the weirdest to have that feature, and none of my friends have ever used them. It's always just an empty screen page.
Yeah, same here. And I've never seen anyone use the, you know, the stories feature. And the good news is that WhatsApp is bringing back the previous version where you can set your availability status with text. This is after the backlash the company has faced, and there's probably a lesson here somewhere about sticking to the things that we users love, and don't just simply copy paste features from other competitors and put them in your app and that doesn't actually require it. I'm just hoping that this video status thingy, you know, dies forever in WhatsApp and doesn't come back, and then dies in Facebook as well, because you know, we can all use it on Instagram, and that one can survive, but just make it more fun and you know, use it.
Yeah,
it's horrible, and Snapchat is just such a heavy app and lacks all the numbers over there.
Yeah, and we expect to see the U-turn update to be out sometime next week for Android users and sometime a bit later for iOS. And you know, when I'm saying this, I can hear Jeff Sandu's voice at the back of my head, you know.
Yeah, laughing maniacally.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's go straight into our first story of the day. Google has just one-upped Apple on mobile in a very, very big way. Google announced the launch of Family Link, which is an application of any parent's dream. So what this app does is it lets the parents establish the child's first Google account, as well as utilize a series of parental controls to manage and track screen time, daily limits, device bedtimes, and which apps can the kid use.
Yeah, so although all the major mobile device providers like Apple, Google, and Amazon offer parental controls on their devices, Family Link is different because it's a two-way party system. Instead, it works more like a third-party parental control and monitoring software already on the market, where the app installed on a parent's device is used to configure settings and keep an eye on kids' digital behavior.
Yeah, for the system to work, Family Link requires that both parent and child to use Android. So Google said that the iOS version is not yet available, and I still can hear Jeff laughing at the back of my head. So the parent will first download the Family Link mobile app to their own device running on Android KitKat 4.4 or higher.
So from this app, parents will set up the child's Google account. It's designed to be used for those children under the age of 13. Then on the kid's device, the child signs in using these new credentials. Once signed in, the child's phone usage is tracked and logged, so parents can see how much time kids spend in various apps via weekly and monthly activity reports.
And from the parents' app, moms and dads can set a number of rules for their kids, including how long kids are allowed to be on their mobile devices every day, at what time the devices can no longer be used that day through a remote locking feature, and which apps can be installed.
I don't know about this. I mean, I don't know if I would want to see my, if I had a teenage son, I don't know if I'd want to see what he's doing, because I'm sure I see a lot of weird stuff there. I'm actually like 50-50. Is it good to track your child in such a way? Like, imagine when you were 10 and the days of using computers and to play games or watch videos and all that kind of things. If those were tracked by your parents, I mean, wouldn't you want to know that your parents actually know the links that you have clicked or visited on? You know?
Same.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's for parents' point of view, it's good to know what your kid's doing, but you as a kid, you don't want your parents to know everything that you're doing.
Yeah,
right?
Like, imagine, like, if MSN, like back then, if they could see all that, I wouldn't want my parents to see what I was chatting about on MSN.
Yo, MIRC was worse.
Yeah,
Oh,
yeah.
So there's a lack of guidance in one of these gaping holes with many parental control systems today. And that being said, the Family Link does allow parents to at least remotely configure the filtering options for some of Google's own apps, like the Google Search app and Chrome browser. And this will protect kids from adult content and other inappropriate material when doing web searches.
Yeah, plus having a standalone application that lets parents remotely configure a variety of control mechanisms for, you know, children's devices will be greatly helpful and could become a selling point for Android phones and tablets.
And Family Link isn't available, you know, broadly yet, but Google is offering early access to testers willing to try the service during this early preview and provide feedback. So maybe you can check out Family Link and you could maybe be part of their beta users.
Yeah, so I think our next story is about the skull drilling robot that we spoke about. There is a story about a robot that actually has a drill in its hand and can do microsurgery, I think. And I was thinking, when I saw this, I was thinking, you know, like yeah, fantastic. We were just talking yesterday about AI on yesterday's episode and how the people at DeepMind have figured out a way to give AI memory, right? So now it can play a game, remember the logic, and apply the logic to win at other games, which is impressive, but also super scary because it basically means that AI is becoming more human. So yeah. What's the next logical step? You take a drill and then put it in the hand and ask it to drill directly into someone's skull, because why not?
Yeah, I mean, AI is taking over the world. Why not just ask him to drill into our skulls, right?
So the first time I heard this, I didn't know why anyone would deliberately ask a robot to drill into our heads. But then it actually started to make a lot of sense. It's actually all about microsurgery and more specifically installing cochlear implants, which is these tiny devices that relay sound directly into the inner ear of someone with a hearing impairment or hearing disability. So basically, the procedure to implant these things is performed, you know, tens of thousands of times in a year. But it's very risky and extremely fiddly, where like even the slightest or smallest error or involuntary sudden movement can cause permanent damage to the patient.
Yeah, and you don't want that to happen, right? And, yeah. You know, damage is one way to put it. You can completely mess someone up because, you know, the area affected is near the brain and the procedure is done through a small hole in the skull. So, yeah, you know, damage is the least of their worries if a mistake happens.
Yeah, and that's where this skull drilling robot comes to the rescue. Since precision is so critical in microsurgery, machines can come in to do the things that humans might not be able to do. In this case, researchers from the University of Bern have been working on a robot that performs the most delicate and potentially damaging step, which is drilling into the skull at the precise location and depth to give access to the right part of the cochlea. Just thinking about this, I'm like getting a headache.
Yeah, and then the team's paper was just published in Science Robotics, and it reports the success of using the robot for drilling purposes as well as other applications such as the actual implantation processes. But in the meantime, they use the drilling process as a platform to prove that the robot can hook into surgery planning systems, stereo vision, live detection of tissue types, and so on and so forth, right? There's so many things that robots can do. And they're also saying that the other microsurgeries could also benefit a lot from this technology.
Yeah, I think it's really cool, but I also think that people put too much weight on robots. I mean, I'm a huge supporter, but I think there's a lot of weight that they put. Remember, just because they're robots doesn't mean something cannot go wrong. Even self-driving cars get into accidents and robots can malfunction. So I guess when we expect, you know, like less accidents in surgery, but it's still not 100% safe. It's just like an improvement from what we can do.
Yeah, I mean, like, just think of all doctors and surgeons who are listening to this right now, especially the ones who are straight out of medical school. I mean, with 8 years plus in the school and now a robot does it and people are saying it's safer and more efficient. I mean, hey, if radio presenters are going to lose our jobs to robots in the future, you're going to have to be on the same boat, you know, doctors. That's just how it is now.
Yeah. I mean, why should you be exempted? What choice do they have anyway, right? Because if they resist, the robot has a freaking drill in its hand. What are they going to do?
Yeah, human era will end. And by robots, you know, who remember what we did and keep grudges, and they just drill our heads if they want to.
Yeah. So we let you process that over the break. So when we come back, a marketplace for elderly care raises funding from a VC in Singapore. More on that after this on BFM 89.9.
Behind famous men. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Angie, and Arvin. And let's talk about Singapore for a few minutes before we move into a story about Swedish kids learning to spot fake news. Now, the aging population is one of Singapore's key demographic problems. It's, I think, 12.4% of the city-state's 5.5 million people were over 65 years old in 2016, which is up from 8%. 5.4% a decade before. So many of these senior citizens require assistance and care that is not always affordable or easy to come by. And that's why a Singaporean-based startup, HomeMage, which was founded in 2016, wants to help by matching seniors to quality in-home caregivers. And the startup announced today it has secured a seed round of $1.2 million.
Mm-hmm. The funding comes from 500 startups, Golden Gate Ventures and Seed Plus. HomeMage was founded by Gillian T, Lily Fang and Tong Duong. By the way, Gillian previously founded the coding startup Code Upstart in San Francisco and Y Combinator back travel comparison platform Rocket Trip, which has raised about $17.4 million to date. So basically, after coming back to Singapore, Gillian wanted to start a business on her own home turf, and then local investors introduced her to Lily. Both of them have aging parents, so the need to ensure that they were well cared for in their old age kind of, you know, like resonated with them.
Mm, and apparently Lily has deep regional experience in healthcare and clinical management in Asia, and they both have a clinical care operations team that has over 30 years of combined experience in nursing and clinical operations.
Yeah, so basically this is how HomeMage works. The service offers personalized home care through its website, and then customers can sign up and list their specific needs, and then the team assigns them to the right caregiver. HomeMage also carefully vets its care professionals through a selection process that includes background checks, certifications for CPR and caregiver or nursing training, reference checks and health screenings. There are also in-person interviews with the startup's clinical care operations staff, and they say this whole process is to make sure that it sends the best people out there, which is why at the moment it takes in or it accepts only 10% of the caregivers who apply.
Mm, and Gillian also says that HomeMage has delivered more than 10,000 hours of in-home care so far, but doesn't specify any user or revenue numbers. And this new cash injection is good because, I mean, HomeMage will use the fresh funding to improve its matching system that mm-hmm. pairs households and seniors with the caregiver that suits their needs. The team wants to make coordinating care for families so easy that the administrative part of home-based care fades into the background.
Yeah, because the last thing you need when you're seeking like elderly care is a bunch of papers in your face, right?
Mm.
The HomeMage team feels that it's solving a real need in the community and is confident enough that in this offering to start scaling up its operations, hence the timing for this new funding.
Mm. And on the investor side of things, 500 Startups partner Vishal Harnal feels HomeMage combines a promising business model by an experienced founder and a very personal and pressing need. Vishal thinks there's a lot of room for businesses that can benefit the elderly, and he spots it's something that's missing from the Southeast Asia ecosystem, and we need young driven entrepreneurs to start building products and services for this particular demographic.
Yeah, there's another startup in Singapore that helps connect caregivers to people in need of in-home care called EB Care, and it's actually a social enterprise, and I think there's a real market for this in Singapore and in, you know, like most of Southeast Asia actually, and that's the good part of these health startups. They're slowly moving into like more areas, and the elderly care sector is where there's like a huge market.
Mm, and it'll be interesting to see if more startups like HomeMage pop up over here in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love the part about making it easy and an easy experience and removing all that administrative hassle.
Yeah, I actually like how they vet through their caregivers and they don't just, you know, like hire left, right and center, because we've heard so many stories of
horror stories.
Yeah, horror stories of elderly being, mistreated by caregivers. So this whole vetting system that HomeMage does sounds like pretty good.
Mm, and you know what else sounds good? Primary school kids in Sweden learning how to spot fake news on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll cover that right after this music. Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Business for Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, we're back on Enterprise Biz Bytes. That was Femme Fatale by Velvet Underground. So now, you know, every day on the show, we have to source for each story and run background checks on them and see what are the interesting angles and so forth. But sometimes we just stumble across fake news, and fake news is a problem not just for us, but for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And even though organizations like Facebook and Google are working on clamping down fake news sites, it's still an issue, and we, as citizen of the net, have also, you know, to take charge.
Yeah, and I came across this story today that could be the best thing ever to combat fake news. Get this, all right. In Sweden, kids are set to learn programming from their first year of primary school. The first year. Like, I'm just trying to think, like, what was I learning in my first year of primary school?
I don't know. I just remember maybe the easy math, 2 plus 2.
Mine was, I learned the difference between udang and undang undang because I didn't know. I went to an English medium kindy, so when I went to the standard one, the teacher kept saying you kena patuhi like arahan dan undang undang, and I thought she was saying udang udang. So yeah, so that was me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. My first year of primary school is still very vague. But you know, that's just something about the way these Scandinavian countries think. I mean, something about the air they breathe, to always just to be a step ahead, you know, from everyone. Coming back to this story, the Swedish government has introduced an improved digital competence aspect to the curriculum designed to make the tech-savvy Swedes even better with computers. And they are already super savvy, by the way.
Yeah, Sweden has, you know, does have a reputation for being the leading nation in tech industry, but rather than just, you know, like leapfrogging while others around the world are catching up, they went a step further, and according to their education minister, Sweden could be a country where every kid in school is prepared for working life, and knowledge of programming needs to start early on.
Yeah, these changes will apply from July 2018 at the latest, and the minister adds that the skills will not only be useful for children who go on to have careers in programming, but also elsewhere, you know, as more jobs require competence with computers in the future. And you know what? Even if you don't do programming, understanding programming helps the brain to really think outside the box, you know, hence, you know, always the phrase, think like an engineer.
But that's not even the best part. And to take things a step further, they've added one more element to the studies for these kids. Along with programming, the digital competence course will include teaching kids how to differentiate between reliable and unreliable sources. A subject that we all know far too well. So can you, like, I mean, imagine, can you beat that? Not only programming, but also learning how to spot fake news in primary school.
Yeah, so Gustav Fridolin, he's the education minister of the Sweden, also said that there's been some lack of judgment in the information society that we live in, as we take it for granted that we don't need to know much, you know, as before, everything is just a short click away, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the exact opposite, as we need basic knowledge in reading, writing, and numeracy, so we cannot be tricked. And Gustav also added that we need to advance ourselves in criticism of sources to the same level as we previously taught in school. So there's some powerful words by the education minister of Sweden.
Yeah, and he goes on and adds that you need to know what you can trust, what the difference between a serious media outlet and a propaganda site is, and how certain you can be that your image of truth is formed from facts and not just someone who wants you to think about things in a certain way. See how he chose his words carefully there, and he does make a very good point, especially with keyboard warriors and, you know, like internet trolls. You can see them in the YouTube section, and those who always complain about issues on Facebook with links to stories that just aren't real.
Yeah, and you know, the Swedes actually do think that fake news is having an impact on their perception of basic facts, and that most Swedes see news article they don't believe to be entirely true on a weekly basis. You know, anyways, I think we need to plan a holiday here, you know, before we start daydreaming about Sweden. It's time to wrap up today's show. Yeah, and so, you know, early on, we first talked about Google launching the app of any parent's dream called Family Link. And this app lets the parents establish a child's first Google account, as well as utilize a series of parental controls to manage and track screen time, daily limits, device bedtimes, and which apps kids can use.
Yeah, I like how they say parents' dream and not like the children's dream, because it's like their nightmare. Then we moved on to a skull-drilling robot and how it is good news for humanity.
Yeah, I mean, enough to think about robots taking over the world, might as well drill our skull while you're at it.
Yeah, but I think what Angie means is that I love robots. I did, I still do, and will always do for the rest of my life. So when the robots and the AI come alive, just remember I am your loyal follower. Don't kill me. Anyway, the skull drilling robot actually makes sense for microsurgery, and specifically installing cochlear implants, which is really, really, really small devices. The procedure to implant these things is extremely risky and fiddly, where even the slightest or smallest error can cause permanent damage to the patient.
Yeah, and then we also talked about why a Singapore-based startup called Homage wants to help matching seniors to quality in-home caregivers. That's because the service for elderly is not always affordable or easy to come by. So Homage also announced today that they have secured a seed round of $1.2 million.
Yeah, and then just before the roundup, we spoke about how Swedish kids are learning how to code and spot like fake news in school.
Yeah, and next up we have the Breakfast Grill replay. Morning Run's Chung Han spoke to Raymond Tang, he's the CEO at Ecompile, on the recently bagged deal in the company's history, and that saw its order book breaking the 1 billion ringgit mark.
Yep, and that wraps up Enterprise Biz Bytes for today with Angeline Tay and me, Arvind Yuvaraj. Thanks for listening. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.